Turn it up, you see the money ain't a thing. Money ain't a gas. Money for nothing and it's just free. I wanna be a billionaire.
It's time for Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO and KIDOAM.com. Listen, learn, and interact with Brian Wiley and Steve Rausch and other local expert guests. Brian Wiley is a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Tree City Advisors is an Idaho registered investment advisory firm. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any specific financial, legal, or other advice on this program. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment security or investment strategy. Call the show now at 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. Idaho's Money Show starts now.
Well, it does right now. 6 minutes after the hour, it's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. Certainly appreciate you listening to this program and joining us this evening. Steve Rausch is here. Steve Rausch, hello.
Hello.
Steve Rausch, of course, your estate planning attorney, all things legal. That's fair game with him. Is that better?
That's
headphones?
Better.
Good.
Yeah.
Check, check. All right. And I'm Brian Wiley, your financial advisor, sitting across from us on the other side of the table. You can't see him, but we certainly can.
And I do have plaid pants on.
Do you really? Let me see.
I'm not showing you.
Oh, yeah. Steve Marsh.
He actually has no pants on.
Medical Plans of Idaho, our resident insurance expert. That's the only reason why we like you is because you don't wear plaid pants, but you are wearing a plaid shirt.
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
If you wear plaid pants and a plaid sport coat, you're out.
I'm out?
Yep.
Oh, man, I just bought both of those.
Yeah, okay. Actually, with that, no, it's it's fine. Actually, you've done a great job with us insurance-wise, and we joke about that tongue-in-cheek. You always have to find somebody that you trust. If you find somebody you trust, then you keep them. That's exactly what we did. And so Steve Marsh is our guy for all things insurance. Welcome back from Scotland.
Thank you. Scotland.
Did you get in a fight while you were over there in a bar?
No, I did not.
Oh,
no.
You're supposed to. I thought they were pretty scrappy people.
You know what? They were pretty hard to get to actually get some dialogue going.
Were they?
Yeah, they really were.
Not the friendliest bunch?
No. No.
Really?
No. In fact, most of the conversations we had, it felt like we were pulling teeth just to get them to talk.
Well, and they don't have a lot of teeth left the pole over there.
Some
right?
of them don't, no.
No. I think the English people are a little bit rougher
yeah.
on the dental
yeah.
issues.
But this is on, yeah, this is on the northern part of the, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up north, they do have teeth.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And most of them seem like they took pretty good care of them.
Yeah. But you got to use the medical system to some degree while you're in Scotland,
yes,
right? Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure, we can talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I don't know the details of why you went.
Oh, if it was, yes, if this yeah. is, it's a whole other question.
Yeah.
Right.
It was borderline whether they were going to let him back in the United States.
I was going to say.
There was a quarantine.
It's an ointment 3 weeks and quarantined, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, got
yeah.
it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so about 2 days into it, I contracted a very nice sinus infection that just really escalated, and I couldn't get it under control. And
just clogged up, huh?
Yeah, it just clogged up and just insane pressure. And
were you crying, Steve?
You know, there was a point where I just about
you felt
did.
Like you were, huh?
Yeah.
It was that bad. So you had a good sinus infection.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, so then what'd you do? Did you go – so what do you do when you're traveling like that? Who do you see?
Well, you know, that's the
thing.
Did
your Obamacare work over there?
Obamacare.
That's why it was free.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, Obamacare doesn't work in Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a socialized medicine country. And so I searched high and low, spent some time on the internet a couple of nights, could not find providers. Now, I found pharmacies. Pharmacies were like, you know, on every corner. But I just couldn't get to a doctor. And so finally in the city of Inverness, I did find an urgent care facility. We drove over there to it, and it had been closed for about 12 to 14 years. It was abandoned.
Really?
Boarded up, overgrown, big fences, keep out, not welcome.
Oh, and, that stinks.
Yeah. So I was really bummed because I had not seen, and I had been searching, and there, I just couldn't find doctors.
Did you search large animal care and not find anything?
Now, there were veterinarians.
Okay, I was
gonna say. And quite honestly, I mean, that was an option that I started to consider.
Yeah.
You know, because when you don't find a doctor, you know, there are things that,
yep,
you know,
it all works the same way.
It all works, you know.
For the most part.
Yeah. So I ended up using the navigation on the car and found the local emergency room, wandered on over there.
He wandered because he was, you know, out of it.
I was a little out of it, yeah. So Marie and I went in there, and She works in the healthcare industry, and we walked in kind of through the back door by accident, and we're just kind of taken back in terms of the antiquated system that they had there.
Yeah.
Old facility.
Was the doctor nice?
Doctor was fantastic. She was a rock star. Yep.
She was.
Yep.
And she gave you the diagnosis that you needed and then prescribed whatever it was that you needed.
She did. Yep.
And then she took your Obamacare card.
And laughed.
No, okay. It was the interesting part getting up to that, though. Getting up to even seeing the doctor you were telling me about.
Yeah. Before. So so in order to see the doctor, as soon as they realized that I was not Scottish, and you just have to talk to me for about 2 seconds and realize that.
Right.
they ushered me off into this little room off on the side of the hospital wing and handed me a phone and said, dial this number and follow the instructions. So you get in there and you do this, and it takes about 5 minutes through this phone tree, and you eventually talk to a guy who triages you. And then that triage took you to another person who triaged a little bit more, and then they, you know, verified where I was at and said that, you know, yeah, you can go ahead and stay there at that hospital. So basically what they're trying to do is decide, do you need care, do you not, and if you do, where are they going to send you?
Right.
And so they determined that I could go ahead and stay there at the ER, and I was told, you know, just tell the front desk, number 419 said I could stay. So I thought, okay. So I went up to the front desk again, and I said, 419 said I could go ahead and stay here.
Mm-hmm.
She knew exactly what I was talking about, said, have a seat, we'll get with you. So three people in the ER, you know, no big deal. I thought, oh, wow, we'll be in, out, and gone in seconds here. About 2.5 hours later, it's full. A lot of people are going in and out, and I see this sign over on the side that says, after triage, your expected wait time is, and there's nothing written down there. So I'm thinking, wow, all these people have been in and out. I haven't had a chance to go in yet.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So I jumped up, wandered over, and said, hey, you know, about how long is this going to take? And she says,
Until you clear up.
Yeah, until you clear up.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, it'll just, I think you're next. And so certainly I was. My phone call originally with the triage person, they wanted to definitely make sure that I had money on me and had the ability to pay for care. So I figured I'd be in, out, and, you know, nothing flat, but it just doesn't work that way. But, you know, I think, you know, and in the end, you know, the care was, once I saw the doctor, she was fantastic. She was just like any other doctor that I've ever been to. It was just the, you know, looking around and realizing that, wow, you know, we step backwards in time. You know, these are old systems. These are old equipment that they're using. I had a nebulizer that I think was made in the 60s. And, of course, then she wanted to give me penicillin, and that scared me. So, you know,
really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. You know, I used to a Z-Pack or something like that. But when she said penicillin, I'm thinking shot and, you know, the old-time big metal contraption. They put the...
It's pretty moist over there. I think that stuff grows wild.
Yeah, it grows on everything over there.
Yeah.
So. But, so, yeah, it was, you know, it was a good experience. But like I said, I mean, just trying to find a doctor was very difficult.
So overall, though, socialized system, you weren't much of a fan of it.
No.
Okay.
No.
But on the other side, just to be fair, when we were in Mexico hanging out with lots of different people that from all around the world, we met quite a few Canadians. And of course, I wanted to ask them that question that we all talk about. Every Canadian hates their system. Mm-hmm. And the two different couples that I asked about it, I said, so what do you guys think of your healthcare system? Oh, we love it. It's great. Like, do you love it because you don't know any better? And they're like, no, we actually had a different type of system when we were young, and this is what we have. It works out fine. So, meaning, I think that there's probably – then there's – and by the way, I'm talking to healthy couples that probably mm-hmm. haven't had to use the system
right.
for – and
right.
that would find the problems with the system. Yeah. We're talking about people that have sniffles and
sniffles.
Go see a doctor and things like that, and that's when what they're getting out of it. Your case, it sounds like it's a much older system. It's probably not a very well-designed system either. I'm not a fan of the idea of socialized medicine, but I'm just at least going to add balance to the conversation because
right.
that's what I do, right?
Well, it was, Steve, just through what you were saying, it was fascinating to me because at the end of the day, although they ask you and wanted to make sure you had money, they didn't end up charging you.
Yeah, they didn't. When I asked the doctors I was leaving, you know, she gave me medication, and, you know, I was prepared to pay. Sure. I understand, you know.
What it cost you?
It's called capitalism, right?
It is, yeah. And, you know, I didn't pay anything into their system to use it in the first place, so I knew going in there's probably going to be a cost. And she just looked at me and she says, I don't know, did they say you were going to have to pay? Yeah. So she went and asked, and the lady at the front desk, she just says, no, just have them go ahead and go. So, you know, but, you know, kind of back to your point with Canada, you know, we've seen lots of things over the years, you know, like the Canadian pharmacy warehouse programs and the mail order programs and, you know, those things were shut down, you know, because basically all those medications were just coming right back across the border back into the United States. And so, you know, the pharmaceutical companies shut that down.
Right.
But, you know, we have a big medical tourism business at, you know, the borders here in the United States. Now, we don't see a lot of that here, but if you lived in the, you know, over in the middle of our country, you would see it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, by the tour bus loads.
Well, yeah. And from what I understand, and now I've never been to Mexico, but I know a few people that have been to Mexico. Mexico's a big medical tourism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Brazil is a big medical tourism.
Yeah,
yeah. Years and years ago, you know, in my past life, my ex-wife, she had a lot of medical expenses, and we went down there and we bought medicine
in Mexico
and brought it back here.
Well, I did last month.
Yeah, and you probably did it last month.
Yeah,
probably,
I did.
You were probably able to get the amoxicillin that I needed.
Z-Pack.
You got the Z-Pack.
Yeah,
see,
I bought Z-Pack.
That's what I was asking
for.
Yeah,
but I brought some Z-Packs back, as a matter of fact, which I know are probably illegal. But you'd have to find them.
Amongst the other things that Brian back.
Yeah, right.
That's all kind of,
right.
Yeah, that's what I needed the ointment for.
Right.
All right. It's 17 minutes after the hour. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO before I get too crazy here. I do want to mention one thing is tomorrow at CAPED, we changed a bit how the presentation and what we're going to do with CAPED tomorrow in South Nampa and their new branch. CAPED is having a huge day and a big day.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Heard this morning. It was
starting at 7 a.m. They're going to display the CAPED hot air balloon known as the Spirit of Boise, I believe. And that is going to occur in the morning, so there'll be plenty of people for that. Then there's a ribbon cutting at 11:30 a.m. with the Nampa Chamber of Commerce. In the meantime, Kevin Miller will be broadcasting live in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m. And then 106 is going to be broadcasting live from noon to 3 or something along those lines. And then I'm going to be broadcasting live from 6 to 7 p.m. and I was going to conduct a class. Well, that's the way that Todd Christensen, who is the vice president of marketing for CAPED, had set it up. And I thought more about this over the weekend. I called Todd up today and I said, I think we're nuts. I think we're crazy because from 5 to 7 p.m. you guys are going to have an after-hours deal with the Nampa Chamber of Commerce. You have all these people running through wanting to see your facility, but yet there's going to be a door that's basically closed because there's a classroom and a live broadcast going on. Why don't we just do a live broadcast? I'll talk about mutual funds. I'll do that on the air, but we're not going to do it in classroom format. In fact, I'm going to invite any person who wants to come and sit down with us at the program that has a story to tell either with CAPED or has questions but wants to join the process. We're going to just do a live broadcast from CAPED tomorrow evening from 6 to 7 p.m. I will do a formal class on the ins and the outs, the A to the Z on mutual funds. We'll do that on a future date, but it just won't be tomorrow night. I'll talk about them in light because I've been teasing it that I was going to do so. But this way we can get guests to come on the program and have more fun with it because there's going to be a lot of moving targets over there. So that will be tomorrow evening, 6 to 7 p.m. at the South Nampa branch. It's at 1023 12th Avenue Road in Nampa. Would love to be able to meet people who don't really want to drive into Meridian or Boise to meet us, but rather don't mind going to the South branch or the South Nampa branch or CAPED tomorrow. That would be fantastic. I'd love that. We won't take phone calls on the program tomorrow night. We're just going to have fun with it. It'll be Steve and me.
I'll be there.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. So we'll do that. Plus here for the program this evening, it's 19 minutes after the hour. Our phone lines are now open. You have Steve Marsh here from Medical Plans of Idaho. He is your resident insurance expert. Steve Roush is here as well, an estate planning expert. He's also passed the bar, so anything legal is fair game. I'm Brian Wiley. I'm your investment manager, your money guy, whatever you want to call me. But the phone lines are open if you want to call now. Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. Stay with us.
Len Beck, weekdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 Key Idaho, Idaho's Talk Station.
Just getting underway here. We're here for you. If you'd like to call the program, please do. The Team Subaru of Nampa studio hotline is 580-5436. I had an interesting conversation today that I just want to say from an advisory practice, and I think this goes with Steve's business, both of you, Steve's. Actually, we have three Steves now part of this program.
Yeah,
so
we do.
I'm going to get my name changed.
Who's the other one?
Steve Soleil.
Steve Soleil.
Oh, that's
Steve
right.
Steve Marsh, yeah. Steve Soleil, Steve Roush.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm looking for more Steves. If you know one, please send them our way because we'll get them on the program.
Apparently, Donald Trump has a bunch of Steves.
Yeah. So, oh, does he?
Yeah.
He's been getting...
There are like six people on his economic council are Steve.
Oh, see? Wow. That makes it easy. Steve, come here.
Get over here.
Yeah, see? And then a bunch of people answer. You feel pretty special.
There you go.
Performance-based question. So every once in a while, I'll have somebody that will come to me and ask me if they can get a certain rate of return. And I can say this as an answer, and I think most people need to understand this in the investment world. My business traditionally had competed off of returns. We're going to try to get you this. We're going to do that and so on. But here's the problem. I have another client that has said it, and he's probably listening to the program. He said it so well, which is nobody cares for your money as much as you do. Well, that actually goes with your investment managers. I don't care what advisor you want to pull out. And I love my clients and care about them in many, many ways. But you're right. I do not care about their money as much as they do because it's their money. What happens with investment managers, if they're not getting the return that they promised or that they tried to get for you over a period of time, they're going to do something desperate to keep you. And it becomes a black or red type of an investment because if they can get it, they keep you. If they don't get it, they're going to lose you. They're going to lose you as it is as a red already. And so I always hesitate to take any kind of a meeting that is going to be performance-based. And I took one today. And it was an hour and a half of discomfort for me because I wanted to try to tell this person that, no, I can't do that. And I got to the point where finally I said, no, I just simply can't do that. If you're going to hire me on performance, you're going to fire me on performance. And I was very truthful in saying, and I really will caution you to go to somebody else because somebody else would love to have your account. And I don't care how much money you're talking about. Somebody will want to have your account. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. Exactly. Not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. Yeah. That's a dangerous relationship, so avoid those at all costs. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580KIDO. You can listen to us online as well at idahosmoneyshow.com and participate. Phone lines are open again at 580KIDO. That's the Team Subaru of Nampa studio hotline. Steve Roush is here, Steve Marsh as well. I'm Brian Wiley. Let's go to Linda calling out of Mountain Home. Hi, Linda.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I had a question about Medicare. My husband is 60 years old. In a few years, I know he'll have to put in for his Medicare. I think it's, was it Part A that's the catastrophic and Part B that is the supplemental for doctor's visits and whatnot? The situation is that, although a lot of people around this area, is that he is retired military, therefore he is covered under Tri-West. I know that he gets Part A through the Medicare since he's paid in, and I'm guessing he still has to pay for the Part B as well. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so Part
B. Yeah, and then also, because he does have the military, would it behoove him to still look at supplemental under Medicare or not?
Let's see. I'll be honest. I'm not an expert when it comes to the military's program through TRICARE. But we can definitely, we can get you the answer for that. But in most cases, he definitely is going to want to pick up Part B, Medicare, and pay for that, which, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think the military requires you to do that.
Right.
Because they want that to pay first before the military TRICARE pays in.
Correct. Yeah, and it would be one of those things where we'd probably just want to sit down and look at that coverage and compare it to a traditional Medicare supplement or, Medicare Advantage.
Yeah, well, he'd be able to call TRICARE Prime, so it covers a lot.
Right.
So I just, including prescriptions and things, so I didn't know if it still behooves to look at other supplemental or if that would probably, I don't think anything else beyond the B is required, but I'm not positive.
Well, Part D is required, but if he has it through TRICARE Prime, which it sounds like he does, as long as it's an equivalent program, and I believe it is, then he would not need to purchase a Part D plan, which is the prescription drug component.
Yeah, so it'd be best just, probably the only thing that would have to be for military personnel like that would probably be just the Medicaid Part B, which I guess is but about $100 and some a month?
Yeah, right now it it just went up to $120.50.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as your combined income is less than $170,000 a year, that's what you would pay, is $120.50.
And what would be the prescribed age that you would think to start setting that up?
At 64 and three quarters, he can actually enroll in a plan. So 3 months prior to, 3 months after turning 65 is his window of opportunity for the initial enrollment.
So that's 6 months, three before and three after.
It is. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what you're going to want to definitely do is about 6 months out, that's when you're going to want to start looking at this stuff a little bit closer and start taking a look at it. But it is something that you're going to look at it on an annual basis. You can't just choose one plan and say that's it forever. You need to look at it on an annual basis, as there's an open enrollment from October 15th to December 7th each year.
I guess a lot of it depends on your overall health period.
Your health, your location, where you guys are, you know, if you're going to stay in the Mountain Home area or if you're going to be...
Oh, yeah, we're planning on staying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's just one of those things that we look at on an annual basis. Yep. And definitely, if you want to give me a call at my office tomorrow, I can definitely do a follow-up on that.
He's got a few years. He's just turned 60.
Yeah.
You were there, so I had some questions. I figured it would be a good time period just to double-check on that.
Right, yep. Well, we certainly appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
And Linda, before you go too far, I've got let me give you his phone number, Steve Marsh's phone number. It's 433-8312. That's
433-8312.
Yep, and here's the second point. We have another caller on the air. He says he has an answer, so he may have had some experience with this. So let's go. So, Linda, just hold and keep listening because I'm sure you'll be able to hear the program when you're on hold here. So I'll hold you, and then let's bring Mike on. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling the program.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm in the same situation.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mike, we just lost you.
Well, you know why he's in the same situation, because I just dumped both the callers.
Don't let Brian use the phone.
Sorry, Ronaldo. My bad. Yep, that's it. Needed a 13-year-old in here. If Steve Cooper was in here, we wouldn't have had any problems. So, actually, did you get one of them back? Yeah, is that Mike? Okay, he called right back. So let me put Mike right back on. Sorry about that, Mike.
Okay, am I back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was cautious on your language, that's all.
I'm in the same situation as Linda's husband, and here's how it works. As far as the drug Part D, that's covered under Express Scripts through the military. You can get all the mail order you want and need, and also through even in the local pharmacies. So it's called TRICARE for Life. You're automatically transferred to it once you start Medicare. Hmm. And in addition, they pick up the supplemental, the military coverage. Your primary care becomes Medicare, but the former military coverage under TriWest changes to TRICARE for Life, and they become the supplemental.
Gotcha. So they're going to pick up your deductible and...
Yes.
Yeah, the 166 for
really,
Part B.
It's really one of the better systems going.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've got quite a few clients that are retired military that are on it, and just they can't speak.
I can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'll put that as a third note on that one as well. So I've got some clients
that
are on
it. Hope that helps Linda out and resolve some of her anxiety.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, Mike, the phone call. Right.
Thank you. It takes a village. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
that's exactly a great example of the program is it takes help of others and those listening to get the good advice. So certainly appreciate that. Thank you, Mike. Phone lines are still open. The Team Subaru of Nampa studio hotline is 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. Steve Marsh joining us here in the program with Steve Roush. I am Brian Wiley. We're going to take a break. Let's do that now. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580-KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580-KIDO, Idaho's talk station.
38 minutes after the hour. We're here for you all the way up until 7 p.m. If you'd like to contact us, we'd love to have you contact us on the program. The Team Subaru Nampa studio hotline is open at 580-5436, or you can go online to idahosmoneyshow.com. Pick up archives of the program, but also communicate with us right there through the front page. Steve Marsh is joining us here on the program from Medical Plans of Idaho. we're gonna talk about, you know, some of the things that might be coming up here at the end of the year for changes, if they are occurring at all.
Well, yeah, we've got open enrollment coming up when?
We've got that coming up starting November 1st for those under age 65 through the end of the year. And then, of course, we got Medicare just around the corner, which starts October 15th.
Okay. Yeah. And if you are age 65, you have to enroll for Medicare, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do you do that?
So again, 3 months before up to 3 months after. That's a guaranteed period. Yeah,
okay.
During your birthday months.
Okay, so three months before and 3 months after.
Right.
Understanding supplements, which I've never really understood this. There are so many of them. The last time we joked about it because we got all the way up to H, I think. So, right?
Right, right. There's an N.
I was going to say, I thought there was an N.
Yeah, it goes clear to N.
And they're confusing. And then you add in other systems like TRICARE, coordination with Medicaid and all these
Medicare Advantage, which is just, it's a different type of product.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
My best advice still is just go see somebody.
Yeah.
Sit down with somebody that understands it and have them walk you through it. I think it's great that people want to do the research on it, but there's another thing to add a level of experience to the conversation. And experience will say, yeah, you know what, this looks like that, but here's really what happens, or whatever it might be.
Well, that brings up a great point, too. And what I run into a lot with clients, and I've been having more and more of this discussion with clients, has been the whole concept of your health insurance in retirement, meaning Medicare, TRICARE, whatever it may be, and long-term care, which are two completely separate, different things.
Right.
And that Medicare and TRICARE only provide you a very short period of long-term care benefit before they're going to kick you off, and then you have to either private pay or have some other way to pay for it.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand, is you basically got about 100 days with Medicare that Medicare is going to cover you. After that, there is no coverage.
Yeah, you're
on your own.
You're on your
so
own.
That's where you've got your, you know, a lot of times if we're going to do a long-term care policy, we'll put like a 90-day probation period against it, or elimination period, because you don't need it during that window of time. But once you get to that point, you need it to kick in.
You need it. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. I think a lot of people think that Medicare is going to be this benefit that's going to continue paying for them even if they went into a situation where they had to be in a long-term care. And when we're talking about long-term care, we're talking about a situation where you're no longer – they're not going to keep you at an active hospital location. They're going to kick you out to some other facility to say, because you're not making progress.
Right. So a lot of times, so here's the other thing that happens with it is, let's say, for instance, you fall down and you're either single or your spouse is the same age as you, and you fall down and you break your hip or something.
Right.
And then, so you go to the hospital and, you need skilled nursing care facility.
Right.
So you're not sick enough that you can stay in the hospital. So they need to get you into a care facility, but you're not capable really of going home either, because maybe your spouse can't, if something happens, they're not capable of getting you back up into the bed if you fall again. So you go into a skilled nursing care facility, but in order to access that skilled nursing benefit, you had to be hospitalized for 3 days.
3 days, 72 hours.
That's right, in order for you to even access that benefit. So, and you might go there for 2 weeks or maybe it's a month, and then you come home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But you can't access that benefit unless you got 3 days to stay in the hospital.
It's three full days.
Right.
And that's the other thing is, you know, if you you're in the hospital for three full days and then they transition you to a rehabilitation facility of some kind, and you get to that point that you're bumping up against the 100 days, you would have to go back out of the facility, re-injure, go back into a hospital for another 72 hours before that benefit would kick in again.
Right.
And I think that it's something that I think most people just don't really understand, that when we're talking about Medicare, it's Medicare, but it's for really not your chronic care. It's more just your preventative treatment, right? And to kind of keep your health hopefully good. But if you get in a situation where you need any long-term care, you got to be preparing for that.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Well, you guys both know how I like to sidestep political topics on this program, but I think I'd like to at least talk about it in a light degree. Here we are in late August, September, October, November. We have 3 months until a decision's going to be made, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I mean, honestly.
Or Johnson.
Or, you know what? And if I can share any view, I'd just tell you a third view and a podium at the debates would be very, very good, in my opinion. But nonetheless, do you think that there will be an unwinding? Do either of you guys think that there'll be an unwinding of the ACA?
I think depending on which administration gets elected.
Trump, he's the only one that's talked about unwinding it. Do you think we would actually see an unwinding of the ACA?
That's all going to be dependent on Congress. Congress is the one that's got to do that. President doesn't have authority.
Yeah, but you know what? If we look at it from the insurance company standpoint, we've got insurance companies that the co-ops are obviously failures. They're all on financial rocky roads. We started with 26. We're down to 13. We're probably going to lose two more this year, without a doubt. And then, of course, we've got big companies like United Healthcare.
They're running.
United Healthcare's pulled out of all but, I think, one state on the individual market.
Wasn't it Aetna?
And Aetna has just announced that they're going to go ahead and pull out of all but about 13 states. These companies are losing money. They're hemorrhaging. And it's not something that's going to go away. You know, so realistically, I think that it's going to have to be dismantled or it's going to be revamped. Something has got to give. But we can't continue down this road for another 10 years.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the frustrations that a lot of people have is instead of spending so much time arguing over it, trying to say, well, we're going to repeal it and spending 64 times trying to repeal it. Why weren't they trying to figure out a way to fix it?
Right.
Because I think some say that that code is not fixable.
Yeah, who knows? That's the problem.
Yeah, who knows? Because, you know, it's, like today I was with Regents and we had a meeting and they were talking that literally just the regulation on it is 7 feet tall, of paper. And that doesn't have all the side pieces that, you know, go with every single one of those pages. So, you know, it's one of those things where just pass it and we'll figure it out later.
That's what happened.
You know, Nancy, and that's exactly Nancy. What happened. Yeah. So, I think it will be
streamlined.
I think it'll be streamlined. I think we're too far into it to just completely say, okay, this goes away and we're going to start over with something else. If we do start over with something else, I think it'll look a lot like Medicare.
My concern with starting over is I don't know how these insurance companies could survive just a start over because they've invested so much into it because they had to, right? And so I think that would be very difficult.
Well, I think one side would love to see that all fail. Sure. Actually, I think both sides to some degree would like to see that all fail.
Yeah, right. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, right. One side says if it fails, they'll replace it with a single payer system. I mean, to an example. We just had a phone call, somebody that basically appreciates TRICARE, right?
Right.
And that is in fact a single payer system.
Yep.
And it functions. Every senior is on Medicare. And I don't know the reviews of all seniors, but I think the majority I've spoken to are okay with it somewhat. The Obamacare thing was a placeholder to get to a point for one side of the political party. The other side of the political party, of course, the other side of the aisle said, no, we'll just stay in a free market system and change some other aspects of the healthcare system that probably need changing anyhow. I think they're probably all right in that degree.
Well, absolutely. Right. And I think that was one of the big things that was not taken into consideration, nor was part of the political process, and that was they went after the insurance companies.
They did.
But they did not go after the healthcare industry.
Right.
Well, and regulation alone is what's bogging down much of the healthcare industry.
I mean, correct.
When you have a provider and standing between the provider and the patient are, 15 other people that with their hands out needing to get some work done, that might be a regulation issue.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, because you think about it, when the law came into existence and said, okay, we realize that every state has their own department of insurance that deals with this, but now we're going to put this exchange in the place.
Exchange? Correct. So now you got an exchange and all of their board and all of their employees, and then you've got the Department of Health and Welfare and all of those people. So there was a lot of jobs that were created.
Yep.
And there's also jobs that were created within the insurance companies. Actuaries went away, and we ended up with more people in the background.
Right.
There it is. You brought that cough home from Scotland.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And
it's the mold.
It is. And you know,
penicillin.
Yeah. And it, speaking of the cough, it kind of comes full circle because, like, for myself, I've been working on a process. I do this every day for a living. And for 9 months, I have been working on trying to get a surgery in place.
For your esophagus.
For this cough.
Yeah.
And just when we think we're getting closer, contracts between the doctors and the insurance companies don't come through, you know. So I've had this scheduled 4 times now. But insurance companies and the doctors and the networks, they're just everybody's wanting a piece of the pie.
Right.
And not everybody's willing to give up their part.
We thought you might get that taken care of when you're in Scotland, but, you know.
Well, they said I couldn't do it over there. They said, get home.
Didn't you say that once you have that done, you can't even talk for a month?
No, I'll be able to talk. It's an eating issue.
Oh, it's eating issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be able to eat.
So, quite honestly,
no problem at all.
Yeah. So do quite, that long enough, you yeah. won't ever talk again.
Yeah. So quite honestly, we'll see how that diet goes.
Seriously, you're gonna walk in here all svelte.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes. I'll be getting my new plaid pants.
Yes.
Seriously. I'm looking for a pair.
Yep. Find you a pair. All right, we're going to take a break. 49 minutes after the hour. Steve Marsh is here. Steve Roush as well. I'm Brian Wiley. Tomorrow evening, Cap Ed. We're looking forward to that. It'll be a Cap Ed South Nampa branch, 1023 12th Avenue Road.
12th Avenue Road.
In Nampa.
Got to get that right.
Steve Roush and I will be broadcasting live from Cap Ed. Love it if you stop by. 6 to 7 p.m. We'll be there. There will be food. There will be refreshments.
Dinner.
There will be food.
Finger food?
There will be food.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And it's Business After Hours with the Nampa Chamber of Commerce. And that will be happening at Cap Ed tomorrow evening. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
Steve Miller Band was playing right by my house.
Could you hear him?
Last night. Oh, yeah. So Vicky and I hopped on our tandem and we rode up there and it was...
The Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, boy, he had a long set list of the music that he was playing. It was pretty cool. And I asked my wife, I said, I mean, when was his era? I mean, like, when was that? I mean, that, because I'm a 70s baby. I was born in 71. And so my parents, Steve Miller was definitely being played when I was a kid all the way up through my early teen years. And then I remember in my 20s that, you know, Steve Miller would still play, and it was like my music from my era.
Right.
And I looked it up, and he's 1967, I think, was his first album.
I was going to say.
Wow. He's like 73 years old, and he played a long set list last night and sounded fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really cool.
We've gone out to a lot of those little concerts that they have just like on a Thursday night out there at the Botanical Gardens, and that's been pretty fun to go do. But we haven't done one of the big concerts. They get some actually good names.
They come out and play there. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, they really do. I know that there's been quite a few. In fact,
Tony Bennett was there recently.
Yes. I mean, Thank you. Tony Bennett was one.
Can't we just do it and, you know, just bring our lawn chairs and hang out in your driveway?
Well, no. Actually, what you do is you walk up the trail system.
Go up the trail.
And people are sitting. I didn't think that was all that cool. Those people are just poaching. But then again, you know, I guess Vicky and I were to some degree too. We were just riding around to see the circus of people. But those people are poaching, sitting up on the side of Table Rock, listening.
There was probably some good people watching with Steve Miller.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet there. Yeah. I bet there was a couple songs in there that there was probably a few lighters going.
And
I'm sure.
Clouds and Scooby-Doo snacks. And
the 70s crowd. I mean, seriously, I was that's that crowd. That late 60s, 70s crowd. You know, they're still doing their thing, I'm sure.
Well, and a lot of that music that came out of that era, I was listening actually last night to some Creedence Clearwater Revival, and I was reading about some of the songs, and it was actually fascinating that a lot of the songs of a lot of the groups of that era were very much political protest songs, protesting against the Vietnam War, and it was kind of fascinating that the youth of that time, which these people were talking about, those were, you know, these guys were in their 20s when they were starting these bands, you know, 20s and they were protesting what was going on. And I was talking to somebody today and they said, you know, right now, and these were people that grew up during that era. They're like, right now feels a lot like then. They're like, you know, with all the rioting that's going on and all the anger and angst that goes on because of what we've got going on in the political scene right now?
I think it ebbs and flows. I think it's something that just happens to our society. You get unrest, and then it goes back into a peaceful time, and then you'll have some more unrest. And I would call it probably being associated generational, but also being far enough away from the last time that we had that unrest.
Yeah, it's a long time.
If people forget the turmoil that that caused, and so then it's easy to go back into it. Mm-hmm. You know, history repeats itself for a reason, and it is one of those times. I had the conversation today. Remember, I had that conversation about performance-based relationships and things like that. And somebody says, you know, do you think that, you know, the market's really toppy right now and all these things? And I said, yeah, I don't know. In fact, any person that tells you that they do know, they don't. And I really believe that. In fact, I had shown him a chart where the market had fallen in 2008, and he draws a line right at the bottom. He goes, yeah, but we got to cut that off. Meaning, and I said, so then what, though? So you sell out, but you have to buy back in, and we don't know. And any person that tells you that they know, see, that was the whole point of that Peter Schiff interview that I had last November.
Was frustrating, actually.
Was a guy that actually timed it right one time. And then creates a whole career off of that and uses that as being all of his credibility. Show me a person that has done it 8, 9, 10 times. Okay, then I'll say, okay, you can successfully time yourself through a market, but you can't. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Right. Even when history does repeat itself, it's never exact.
Well, look at Warren Buffett, right? One of the most successful investors.
He says, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Steve Marsh, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Awesome having you. Steve Marsh, Medical Plans of Idaho. It's getmpi.com or go to idahosmoneyshow.com. You can connect to any of us right there. Pick up archives of the program. Leave us questions. We can give you answers. We can connect you to the right pro. We're here in the Treasure Valley, and we're here for you. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO tomorrow night from the grand opening of CAPED's South Nampa branch in Nampa. Love to have you come. 6 to 7 p.m., Steve Roush and I will be broadcasting live. Just come by, say hi, have some eats. Shake some hands and enjoy the opening. Yep. Have a great night. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.